is going on? Welcome back to another episode of the Title Fight Podcast, a podcast where we talk about the biggest MMA fights of the past weekend. Tonight, we are going to talk about, you may say it's an iconic UFC 294. It definitely has changed the landscape again within the fight game. And we have a lot of new questions, a lot of new contenders. And we're going to talk with our guest, Coach Rage, as soon as he joins us about where the future of the welterweight division, nay, the middleweight division, and the lightweight division are going to land come next UFC. One of the biggest elephants in the room we have to talk about first within UFC 294 was, and I know coaches don't want to talk about this, he's got some revealing details that we're going to get into, but I want to bring it up. The elephant in the room, the doctor stoppages within this fight, within the Victor Henry fight and the Johnny Walker fight. We have seen the two, not only, I mean, if only of one of these instances, if only one of these instances occurred during this night, we would have said it was the worst doctor stoppage, but two of them by the same doctor occurred. The first one, which we'll get into later with Victor Henry, I'm going to save for when Coach is here because he works with Victor and he may have some inside information about the condition that he's in. But the second one I want to talk about, Johnny Walker versus Magomed Ankalaev. An illegal knee to the head. Obviously, it was an illegal knee, not an intentional foul. Even if the fight could not continue, it was definitely going to be a no contest, not a DQ. But let's talk about the way the doctor treated the concussion protocol that occurred during that fight, which within the well-being of the fighter, you do need to check them after a severe, I mean, it's blunt force trauma right to the head. He took a flush knee from a pro fighter right to the noggin. And the doctor was just in coming in to check Johnny Walker. It's the matter of how he came to the decision that he was no longer fit to fight that I think it's a controversy. I know it's a controversy. He asked him a series of questions. One of those questions being, where are you? The answer, the desert. A lot of issues with that. First issue, Johnny Walker was not wrong. They were in the desert. I don't know what the doctor was looking for. Specifically, was he looking for Abu Dhabi? Was he looking for the name of the stadium? Was he looking for the country? But he was able to understand the question and give a answer relevant to the question. I'm going to bring up why I think desert would have been a fine answer. The other issues I have is that he doesn't speak the best English. He is learning for sure. But if they brought in the translator, if they'd asked the question twice, if they rephrased the question, he might have gotten it more accurate than the desert. If they had brought in his translator and said, what city are you in? Or what country are you in? Not where are you? He could have just said, I'm in the octagon. And that would have been the right answer. And the statute of the standards of that question, I'm going to bring up a little-known fact dating back to UFC 146. Junior Dos Santos versus Frank Mir in their heavyweight title fight. Between rounds one and two, Frank Mir had been rocked in round one. And the doctor had come in between the rounds to give the same, a completely different doctor, definitely an adequate doctor for sure. But this doctor had come in and asked the same exact question. Where are you? And Frank Mir had answered, Mandalay Bay. The doctor said, close enough, let them fight. The correct answer, they were fighting in the MGM Grand Arena, right across the street from the Mandalay Bay. That answer was close enough for that doctor to deem fit to fight, and they let the fight continue. He was able to understand the question, and he may not have gotten the literal answer technically right, but he didn't say, where are you, giraffe? Or where are you, Africa, when you're in America? So I want to get Coach's thoughts on the accuracy of that answer, as well as the Victor Henry situation as soon as he joins. I'm going to check on him right now because this show is live. So let me find out where he's at right now. If you're in the comment section right now, I don't get to see who's in the comments, but if you're there, go ahead and drop questions. We will talk about them during the podcast. If time allots for it. The two fights from the card that we talked about last week were the last minute changes, last minute opponents, and the weight class change for Kamaru Usman, former welterweight champion. There's Coach Rage. He is about to be led in the room. What is up, buddy? How you doing?
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, man. I had just covered just my thoughts on the Johnny Walker doctor stoppage. I wanted to save the Victor Henry one for when you came in. The Johnny Walker thing I brought up was the accuracy of the question was, where are you? And he had said the desert, which is the right answer to a guy who doesn't speak very much English. He's in the middle of a fight, and he's in a country that he's probably not spent a lot of time in. And I was comparing that to something that I don't even know if you know about. I mentioned Frank Mir versus Junior Dos Santos. Between rounds one and two, the doctor asked him where he was. And Frank Mir had said he was at Mandalay Bay. They were at MGM Grand Arena, but the doctor literally said, close enough, let him fight.
Yeah.
Do you think Johnny Walker's answer was right enough answer to cover?
100%. That doctor, I mean, we're fortunate that this shit hasn't happened more than it has, especially with the events happening overseas, right?
Right.
You look at all the winners and they're all Eastern Bloc, you know?
I think it was a clean sweep on if you're going to go regional with that, for sure.
Exactly. And that's not...
except for, I don't know where Anshul Jabuli is from, but he did not win. That's the one. And Trevor Peak over Mohamed Yahya. And that's it. It went like 2-10 or 10-2. Yeah.
And if the doctor stops that from an illegal knee, it should have been a DQ. Not a no contest. Could not continue. So, you know, it's shady shit. And
just like the Peter Yan Aljamain Sterling fight were to fall under the same conditions, same exact thing happened, same outcome. It was still deemed an unintentional foul, kind of. I mean, Peter Yan listened to his corner. They said strike. So he did strike. So he intended to strike, but did not intend to do it illegally. But that's some gray area there.
Yep. And, you know, anyone who has any experience with international wrestling, we know, like, shady shit happens, especially in that part of the country.
I was picking that up. I had said to myself in my, I think I have a group chat with like some MMA friends where I said, it was the doctor finding a way to save the regional fighter. He found an out. He found outs for both of them.
Yeah.
It's not even like Magomed Ankalaev needed it. It's not like he was losing and they gave him a window.
And I got to say, I really dislike Ankalaev. Like this is yet another time where we've seen him completely just misbehave and
cry about a loss, or he cried about a draw. Said he was gonna quit during that Jan Blachowicz fight.
Yeah, you know, and I really dislike the guy. The UFC needs to get rid of him.
He said that he was out, but they brought him back in.
Exactly. And that fucking doctor, bro. Like, he literally looked at Victor Henry and said, you're fine.
You did not get kicked in the balls. He literally said that. He said it was not your dick and balls.
Yeah. And meanwhile, Victor ends up in the hospital.
Rupture. I don't know. The ultrasound, did it deem a you know Victor Henry personally.
Yeah.
It's been a week. Do we know now today? Because last I saw ultrasound, perhaps ruptured testicle is like worst case scenario.
Yeah, it wasn't ruptured. It was just extremely bruised.
Extremely kicked.
Yeah. And the feedback that I got was that he was swollen to the point where he couldn't even walk.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Yeah.
But the argument that the ref, it's not the judge, first, it's not the judge or the, it's not the, re, fuck, I get confused. It's not the doctor's discretion to deem whether or not the foul landed. It's to check on the condition of the fighter regardless.
The doctor's job is to be a fucking doctor.
Not to deem it a foul or a DQ or no contest. Not to give up points.
Exactly. Yeah. Right? The referee's job. That's when some fuckery was job, the judge's job is the judge's job. The doctor's job is that fucking doctor, though, man. What a fucking scumbag. I mean, unbelievable. And it's not just arrogance and incompetence. You know, it's all the above. And on top of that, he was shady as fuck.
Almost definitely.
What are you gonna do?
I Don't know how they regulate out there. I know that in some countries like Brazil, UFC is self-regulating. I think in Singapore they might be. But I don't know if that extends to the doctors that they hire. Hopefully, I mean, they fired referees on the spot in Abu Dhabi, I believe. So hopefully they can not bring this guy back.
Yeah, well, we'll see. it's just, yeah, I don't know. Like, what is it? Caveat emptor? But the fighters have to take the fights that they're given, right? But unless they're forcing you to fucking fight in Abu Dhabi, if you are from the States or any Western country, just don't fucking go there. Just don't do it. Make them, seriously. Like,
no, I believe you.
That shit, you know? Go if you have to, but if you don't have to, don't fucking go. Like some of the guys were saying, oh yeah, it's a bucket list dream of mine to travel internationally.
England is international, bro. Come on. No, Mexico and Canada are international.
Yeah. Yeah.
So right? Yeah, definitely.
Fight in the Caribbean. That's cool. But
that'd be like, what was that shady gambler who used to do that?
Bodog,
love those fights. Those fights were brutal, bro. Fans at home, Bodog fights. This dude, he had a bunch of money. He was like, that Jay Blazarian guy. He just had a bunch of gambling money. Who I think he eventually got put in jail for his acquirement of said money. But he would put on like these beach fights in like the Caribbean. Like you would have these awesome kickboxing fights. When you think of Fight Island, this is what I thought. They were on the dirt. They were on the beach, literally on the beach, palm trees. I remember. There was a kickboxer, Rosie Sexton, I think. She, like, broke her ankle in one of these fights. Her leg flew off, like, Anderson Silva. Like, these fights were wild. But, yeah, those are good fights, bad company.
Yeah, yeah. wow.
Yeah.
Bringing back memories, bringing up Bodog. Like,
I can't believe that that's even a – how old that is. That's got to be 20, 25 years old already.
And the state of MMA was such that – Bodog was one of the more legitimate promotions happening.
Like the offshoots. It was when it was a bunch of weird offshoots. You know, the IFL was coming around. Strikeforce hadn't been a thing yet. Elite XT, I think, was still a fucking spark in Florida corruption eyes. So, yeah.
They had all these things that is like, oh, we're going to market it this way. We're going
to
market it this
way. Anything Bob Meyerowitz tried to do, like the bowl. He tried to do an MMA fight in like a bowl. Like a Kumite type deal. Yeah.
So the good news is that Victor Henry
will fight again.
He's walking. He didn't need surgery. And I didn't ask him, but I hope he got good pain meds.
I'm assuming Dano is known to pay under the table at his own discretion. So I feel like everybody who got fucked by that doctor probably fell under that umbrella. Hopefully Dana's pretty good about taking care of injustices like that financially. Mm-hmm. So I hope that sent him some cheese his way, especially because they covered the doctor bills. Yep. Moving on now to the main card of the night, the main two fights, we have Kamaru Usman and Borz, which is a great name. Khamzat Chimaev. This was, I think, the fight a lot of people may have thought, like I think the non-casuals, the hardcores, may not have been surprised to have seen. I feel like the game plan going in was Chimaev was going to try to out-wrestle him. And he did in round one. And to the extent to which he did it, I think may have surprised a lot of people. He literally held him anywhere he wanted for 4 minutes and 59 seconds of that first round. The second round, obviously every round starts on the feet. I think Usman won second round. I think he found something within his boxing that allowed him to score points on him. Coach is disconnected. He may be right back. There he is. Let's see if.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. Well, it's actually not my internet. I'm at a friend's house, but anyway, hi. Anyway. Sorry.
You're all good. I think in that second round, though, Usman started to find a path in his own to possibly winning that fight. I think his jab and the Trevor Whitman coaching definitely kept him on his feet with the strikes, and he may have been outpointing him in that second round, But then the third round came and it was back to the first round. He was taken down at will, out wrestled, which is a wild thing to say. Conditioning, I mean, it may have been a factor, but I don't think he was put in a lot of positions where it was his cardio that was making him suffer. I think it was the skill set of Chimaev that was putting him in those bad positions. Chimaev walked out of there. I think it was a 50-45. Is that how you score a five round or four, a three rounder? 5-15? I don't know. Numbers are hard. 5-10, 30-27. There we go. I knew it. Figured it out. Let's see if he comes back. Are you still there, coach? Let's see if he resets. While we're waiting for coach to come back, I will give my, there he is again. There we go. Cool. It's all good.
Sorry, man.
We'll do it live. That's the problem. Like, I love it. But yeah, my thoughts on that fight were that's kind of the fight we thought we would get. I didn't know if Chimaev was just going to tear through him and finish him. That would have been more surprising than the results that we got.
But yeah, Chimaev, did he break his hand?
I did not follow up on that. I watched the post fight, and I think that he did get sent to the hospital. But I can find that right out.
Yeah.
Chimaev hand break. I think, did someone say that he heard him say that he broke his hand? Someone had said they heard him in his corner, or he mouthed it or something, and someone thought that that's what he had said. So I believe that he probably did.
Yeah.
Well, with that win, that puts him at number one. I mean, apparently he's got Sean Strickland sometime in 2024 out of one fight in the division. Your thoughts on the fight, your thoughts on an immediate title shot when you got dudes like, We both know that Drake is deserving.
You know, Sean disagrees. Sean thinks
Izzy disagree with Sean. Makes sense. Pick your battles.
Yeah, he doesn't think that Hamza deserves it after, you know, in his words, beating a welterweight. But first of all, that welterweight beat you, Sean. Fractured your orbital, by the way. Obviously much younger, much different, and it was at welterweight. But I think Hamza absolutely he's shown enough, he's done enough. You know, there's a ton of hype behind him, but he's lived up to the hype. So yeah, he deserves a title shot.
I absolutely agree. Yeah.
I think it's a really bad matchup for Sean, which is why he's, you know, protesting the way that he is. I think a lot of the matchups at middleweight are bad for Sean, actually.
I don't know any fight where he's come in as he not the dog.
Right.
And he's past like four or five fights.
Yeah.
All of them. Even that, the Russian guy, Pereira, obviously Izzy, he was an underdog. So, yeah, I think he's just going to – he's a permanent underdog. He's like Frankie Edgar.
The Russian guy. I don't remember the Russian guy, but
– it was that guy that he beat the shit out of in like the second round out of nowhere.
Cool.
Let me find out who that was.
Yeah, and the thing that's
ready for this one, Absapuyan Magomedov. He beat him in round two back in July 2020.
The thing is,
and cool before about that, he beat Nasruddin Imavov. So yeah, he's kind of tearing through the pointers right now.
The thing that's cool about Sean is that we really haven't seen everything that he's capable of, and I hope he gets to show it before his time expires.
Right.
You know, I'm always saying it, but yeah, you know, TikTok, he's getting up there in age. This is his final run, but he's under no delusions. He knows what's up.
God, he's only 32. He's already at his, I guess you would say, the autumn of his prime, I guess is what it sounds like you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
The guy's got 28-5. Gee, that's a solid record, but that's 32 wins or 32 fights already.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, that's not counting his street fights in the, you know, the mean streets of Riverside, you know, everything that's been illegal or under the table. So yeah,
and, for sure. And he spars constantly. He's sparring like 4 days a week, 5 days a week.
Yeah. And people come after him. I've seen his sparring sessions. People come after him trying to hurt him to prove a point.
Some do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some do. But, you know, he's got a lot of good training partners also. I want to see the fight. I think I think this fight could bring out, could actually let Sean display his full skill set. His grappling is way better than anyone realizes.
That's what he claims to have, which I don't doubt.
I mean, I've seen it. I've seen him.
No, I know. I definitely agree with him. I mean, yeah. I'm not going to doubt him, but he says that no one's seen it because he doesn't need it.
Well, I've seen it. But
yeah. So now moving on to the main event, Alexander Volkanovski versus Israel?
Yeah.
Israel Agamadez Insania. Wow. Okay. So I thought Volk was doing pretty good for the first minute or two. I thought those clinch exchanges were not too bad up against the fence. He was getting his underhooks. He was, I don't know what you call it when you switch position from back against the fence to dominant position, if there's a word for that. But he was rotating them. He was moving them where he wanted to from those bad positions. And then just set up that – he didn't even set up that head kick. He just blasted him like Gaethje versus Poirier. He blocked it. He just blocked a little too low. He crouched a little too low, and he just got sent back to Australia with one kick.
You know,
kick that we've never seen him throw.
What was cool was Dana said, yeah, it reminded me of Krokop, which was really
– it was a left leg.
It was accurate. Well, and the path of travel and the way it glanced off the is like it
reminded me of if you want to say Krokop versus Vanderlei in the rematch.
I thought Volk looked like shit. I thought he looked fat and slow and out of shape, and I was shocked and disappointed because it was like every bit as bad as everyone said it would have been.
And I don't know, with the full training camp on Volk, the way that ended, I don't know how much would have been different if that was the game plan for Ismail. Ismail, is that his name?
Israel.
Is Israel?
Yeah. No.
No. It's Ismail? Jesus Christ, Kennedy. I know these things.
Islam.
Jesus Christ. I was fucking, something's not clicking in my head with that one. Yeah, I don't know. If that was his game plan coming in, I don't know how much training would have changed that outcome. It was the perfect.
The thing is, though, you and I both thought that Volk was going to show up for this.
Yeah, we definitely did.
Showed up was absolutely nothing like what should have been or could have been.
Right.
And maybe this is the beginning of his swan song. You know, thing is, once fighters start talking about retirement and struggling emotionally and struggling psychologically, and then they show up for a fight fat and out of shape, and it's like history just shows that okay, this is the decline.
Yeah, the moment you talk about it, you are it.
I don't know what else to say. I still think that Makhachev is overrated. Very overrated. I think, Daniel Cormier is pushing for him to take the fight with Connor, you know, get paid. But Makhachev is in Khabib's shadow. He's never going to get out of Khabib's shadow. He's never going to be as good as Khabib, no matter what he does. No one's going to, you're not Khabib.
Yeah. I mean, he may be a more exciting fighter. In my opinion, I think that's probably true. I mean, at least she's on a trajectory. I mean, a fucking head kick. The last time that Nurmagomedov knocked somebody out was Tiago, one of the Tiagos a couple years back. It was that, and it was the Chael Sonnen and Anderson Silva 2 card. I forget the gentleman's name. He looked like a little Vitor. He hit him with a front elbow to the face. That was his last standing KO. So
yeah.
Cool.
And I mean, Khabib was interesting because he was undefeated, because of the way but his fight style was boring, right? Push him against the cage, lay and pray for 5 minutes, and then do it again.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Makhachev is a better striker than Khabib, but that's a very, very low bar.
Khabib
was crazy, and he was fearless, so he was able to close the distance and start grappling. But his striking was awful. But you know, he was.
Yeah, if you look at his toughest fights, I mean, I always bring up the argument: what were Khabib's toughest fights? Michael Johnson, Al Iaquinta, guys ranked outside of top 10. So yeah. His best fights, like, oh, he's the greatest of all time. What were his hardest fights against non-ranked competitors?
Exactly.
So it was for me, it's a lot like Fedor. It was quantity, not quality for Khabib.
Well, except Fedor's shit was fixed, so.
Right. Gotcha.
You know.
Well, speaking of fixed, let's move on to a subject you wanted to bring up. We've got the biggest fight in the history of corrupt boxing ever tomorrow. Oh, God. We got Tyson Fury versus. Oh. This is not an exhibition. This is an actual WBO boxing match. This is a ranked or sanctioned match versus Francis Ngannou, who is 0-0 in any kind of boxing. I think even including amateur boxing. How he got cleared for professional fight. Dollar bills, y'all.
Yeah.
I think this is worse than the Conor and Mayweather fight because Francis does not have a fallback plan. If he loses, he's out of the game. He's out of two games. Where Conor, he falls, he loses to Mayweather. He falls back on his MMA career. After this, if Francis loses, I mean, PFL's kind of in the shitter right now. He's not going to Bellator, so.
Yeah, but they just opened the women's league in PFL, so.
Yeah.
He could transition.
Yeah, he could totally fight Ashley Evan Smith.
Here's the thing. It doesn't matter. He's making more money. He's got the odds were of him winning are like
so astronomical.
Right? Yeah,
I think it's you bet $100, you get $900 on Ngannou. I think that's what something like that.
Something like right, and then yeah. If you pick Fury, you get like 11 cents or something. Like
that. Yeah.
So Ngannou doesn't need a backup plan. lose, but he's going to make more money in this one fight than he made his entire career.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then if he wants to do MMA, he can. If he wants to fart around boxing, he can. You know, being free of the contracts from the UFC, he's able to make some legit money now.
Yeah, the Ali Act is still a thing, and he's allowed to float where he wants to and free contract those paychecks.
Yep.
Do you think he goes off 12?
This is happening. The Fury and Ngannou fight is happening like tomorrow or some shit, right?
Yeah, it's tomorrow.
Yeah, and nothing has come up on any of my feeds about it.
I only know about it because you brought it up.
Right. So it's like, huh? How does that? What? Where Maymac?
I don't know. I don't know if it's on DAZN. I don't know if it's on fucking Showtime or Max or FBO.
Right. Fox. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know the time. I don't know the play. Right. I'd have to look it up, but I don't really give a fuck. But, I'm not paying for that shit.
Yeah, if it ends in KO, I'm watching the replay. I'm gonna be at fake fights tomorrow. I'd rather watch pro wrestling than this boxing match.
Right.
But I will watch the replay for free. I will stream that exactly. wherever your service provider allows you to.
The point that I'm making is this: this is a legit boxing, sanctioned boxing fight, but we can't find it. We don't know anything about it because Dana is not promoting it, and he is actively trying to suppress it.
Yeah.
And it's working. It's working. So it's like, damn, how long is his reach that
he can well, he's got Endeavor now under, you know, basically endless supply of financial backing for the rest of
and then how far does that Endeavor?
Yeah.
UFC, WWE, ESPN, like
this is happening in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. This is definitely going to be a fucking one of the most corrupt boxing matches of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So but this fight actually is going to be starting in like 6 hours if they're going on Riyadh time.
All right.
Cool.
All right.
I guess I get to watch when I get home.
I don't think.
Don't promote it here, Ivan. Don't make people pay for that. Don't link it here.
That's awesome.
No promotions. Dana White's in our back pocket.
So there's like a there is the crazy chance that Ngannou lands a shot. Right. And
yeah, there's fucking chance always.
Right. But, you know, I do think Fury is going to knock out Ngannou. I think that's
going to. I hope he rocks him and toys with him.
Yeah. Well, he's going to make him. He's going to embarrass him. He's going to tire him out. He's going to dance fucking circles around him for 2-3 rounds. But then I think he will put him away.
Yeah. So. That's the perfect game plan right there. I would love to see that. I'd be entertained by that. I love Tyson Fury. The Gypsy King is, I mean, a favorite modern boxer. as far as a lot of things that he does. Fury looks out of shape. Fury always kind of does look out of shape, though. Look at all the Deontay Wilder fights, Giant Teeth Joshua fights. He's never going to be the more in shape of the two fighters in that ring.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
He's earned my respect. I'll say that.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't watch boxing very much, but I'm aware of him, and I am very entertained by him. I hope he gets on the mic and sings his national anthem again. That will be it for us tonight on a Friday night title fight. I appreciate you, Coach, coming in. We will be back for UFC 295, I think. That's going to be – is that the rebooked John Jones fight is now the whoever the fuck –
and Potan.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one. We will talk about that the Friday before. If you like what you see and hear, go follow us, like, subscribe, hit that notification bell. Coach Rage, I appreciate you, and I will see you guys soon. Take care.
Thank you.